I won the lottery this week. Did I tell anybody? I won the lottery. Yeah, I won the lottery. Now what am I going to do with it? That's the key, you know. What are you going to do with the winnings? You know, it's 5 a.m. this morning. I like to write stuff down, little books. I don't trust that other stuff, Ron. I think it could crash at any time, you know. My family has scads of these notebooks documented when God spoke to me. August 7, 2021, 5 a.m. Dave, you won the lottery. Really? I won the lottery? Yeah. You were born in the United States of America at this time in history. Most prosperous time, most blessed time. Get the health care you need. Get a loan if you want to get it. Don't have the money. You have just this opportunity to be a blessing and bless other people. You've won the lottery. Not everybody born in other nations are as, you know, lucky as we are, blessed as we are. We are blessed. Oh, we are so blessed. Yesterday, my wife and I were, Judy, were at a restaurant and sitting on a patio, beautiful summer day, having a wonderful meal, listening to great music with a whole bunch of people that were just having fun, you know. I mean, I won the lottery, folks, you know. I mean, how can it get any better? It's wonderful. And we had the opportunity to bless a waitress that brought her to tears just by over-tipping her. I didn't expect it, but we heard the voice of God. We over-tipped her first. Then I looked at Judy, and Judy looked at me and said, we need to give her $20 more. We were in total agreement. And when we gave her that money, she cried right there on the spot. She said, you don't know what this means to me. I watched that young girl run around with water, serving people, I mean, to the best of her, over her ability. And we had the opportunity to bless her. So you got to hear what God's saying in this hour. This is what God, we have what it takes to bless people from a gracious God, an incredible God. I call him Huawei. Huawei. You know, back in the, you know, olden days, the Jews called him Yahweh. Well, we're not in the olden days anymore. We're calling them Huawei. Huawei. Oh, my goodness. He's a wow kind of God. When I looked at this, God is, how do we shift the focus off ourselves and onto God? When the whole focus really is on us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Well, this month, we're going to try to shift the focus. We're going to try to shift the focus off ourselves when we're so blessed, so prosperous. I don't, you know, whatever you're going through, you can get care, you can get help, you can, you know, when my mom came up, she was a single mom. She couldn't even get a loan for a house. My grandparents had to buy a house for her. Wow. Things are getting better, folks. They're getting better. And we have to praise the Lord. We have to come in here and praise him that he is always good. Yes, there's some rough spots, okay? There are some difficult places. But we need to worship him and praise him. We're in that spot. And we're gonna take a whole month. It seems like a lot, but I mean, it goes so fast, doesn't it? You know, we're in this. God is. It is all I could come up with. God is wow. You know, and I thought the hippies coined that phrase, okay? You know, back in the day. Wow, man. Wow. far out. You know, I could say it backwards. Wow. Wow. I mean, when we think how awesome, but you know, I was telling Doug the other day that the phrase wow is a Scottish phrase. Coined in what was it, 1920 something or other, 26, and it meant just awesome amazement. Awesome amazement. You wow me, Sandy, you know? I mean, your teacher wows me. It just really, not being a teacher, I got notebooks with all this stuff written down everywhere, you know? And I'm saying, God, Holy Spirit, help me get some of it out, you know? As you keep pouring more on me, you know what I mean? And like I said, I never learned. I was absent the day when we're taught how to do an outline. Was it A, and then it was letter one or small a? Remember that? Oh, my goodness. They went to great detail to teach us how to outline something. Whew. How do we do that with God? How do we try to get him in a box. You know, there was a time when I had this church, small church, and I was struggling. So somebody thought they'd bless me, and they gave me a vending company. It's called Jubilee Vending. How good it was the fact that they gave it to me, you know. Jubilee Vending. And I had, you know, a dozen or more vending machines. And we tend to look at God as a vending machine, you know. I mean, a vending machine's pretty big. But according to God, and we treat God like a vending machine. You know, vending machines had to be tethered to the wall because if it fell over, they could kill you. But, you know, they're big enough. But, I mean, people would call me at like 8 in the morning, we're out of Diet Pepsi, you know. And my thought was, what are you drinking Diet Pepsi at 8 in the morning for? You know, I mean, I had one at a trucking company and at a factory, and it was hard to really make money at doing it, but the kids loved it because we had an unending supply of snacks in the house. Don't eat any more of those Reese's butter cups. I find wrappers everywhere, you know. Not me, Dad, you know. Oh, my gosh. Vending. And then the vending machine would break down. Who had to fix the vending machine, you know? But sometimes we treat God like a vending machine, and we get stuff, we put in what we think we need to put in, the money or whatever it is, and we get this, what? Stuff that we don't even need. Stuff that we don't even need. I mean, a couple weeks, I've been working at houses, 9,000 square feet, 8,000 square feet. And as all the people can do is apologize for how much stuff they have. They're embarrassed by how much stuff they have. And they get these huge dumpsters. And we throw all this stuff in the dumpsters. You know, and the landscaping crews come around and say, can we go through the dumpster? Can we go through the dumpster? Because the stuff we throw away. The stuff we throw away is more valuable than what they have in their own country. Oh my gosh, the value system. God is not our vending machine to give us more. He's not that vending machine to give us more. You know, I want to look in scripture here. It says in John 3:16, you know it so well. What can I tell you new about John 3:16? Oh, when you look at it from a bigger picture, not at the football game where the guy, you know, has a sign, John 3:16, and more than half the people are looking at us like, what? You know, they didn't come there to get preached to. They came to play, you know, watch football. And somebody says, well, I'm going to take the opportunity to preach to them, you know. I was like, yesterday, I didn't have to preach to that girl. I didn't preach to her at all. I just was generous to her. Thank you. Yeah, if necessary, use words. I think if I would have preached to her, she would have been crying for a different reason. Oh my gosh. See, the scripture, how many would say, I know what this means? I know what this means. Nobody? Well, I think I might know what it means. You know, we've sat in enough teaching of it, but it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. What are you going to do with what you know? We because God is so big, so awesome, so wow, that we try to narrow him down into a little box so we can control him, so we can put our money in and get out what we want, when we want it, when we need it. Oh, my goodness. It says, for God so loved. God so loved. I want to turn around. So God. So God. Man, that sunset was so God. Wow. How many have done that? Whew. That flower is so God. Wow. There's something about the creative order of the universe that just blows us away by God. We can't put it in a little box. But we try to make it a denomination. We try to make it a political party. We try to make it our tribe. We try to make it something that is more containable and more small. And instead of being inclusive, we make it exclusive. His generous love. His generous outpouring upon us. We put parameters on it. We put parameters on it. We call it us. Oh, for God so loved. That word is agapeo. And the word, the world, is cosmos. You can't narrow that down, folks. You know? I mean, it's cosmic. Woo! Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid now. Don't be afraid when I say cosmic. It's a scientific word, yes. Okay? But it's a consciousness that's broader than our narrow way of thinking, our neighborhood, even our house. Jesus, you know, he gives us these wonderful little parables. The man who builds his house on a rock. The man who builds his house on this kind of love for his community, for his family, okay, will last. For his country, the man who builds his house on this unconditional love, and we're the people called to do it. We're the people called to do it. Oh, you go do it. No, we're the people of God. This awesome God, for God so loved the cosmos, the divine arrangement of the universe. I mean, Ron, you could put that up. God's trying to get a message to us, folks. All of a sudden, through technology and intelligence, God has allowed us to develop a telescope to see how big he is. Something that was totally unavailable to us before, but now he's saying, see, look at me. Look how big I am. Look how far out I am. Whew. How wow I am. You can't contain me with your little boxes, your little ideas about who I am. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You notice they use the word higher? Look up. Look up. This is amazing. I don't even know what it is. We can't even wrap our heads around it because it's so big. It might even be gone because it takes so many light years to get to us, which I don't know about. But it's so big and immense and awesome, and we need to expand our consciousness of who God is and what he can do. Instead of fussing and fighting all the time about what he can't do, what he's not giving us when we put our time and money into it, you know? He's awesome. He's amazing. He's not about our world, our country, our city, our denomination, our political affiliation. God is so big. He's beyond that. Now, yes, he loves us individually. God so agape us. He loves us. I mean, his ability is that great to wake me up at 7 in the morning and tell me I won the lottery and laugh about it. You know, I mean, in order to win, you got to play. You know, and I'm in the game. I'm in it, you know. God so loved. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the gifts of the Spirit, and I talked about gifts unto men, the teacher and the apostle, and I gave you a terrible offhanded definition of an apostle because I had no idea. Well, God wants me to know. An apostle is one who has this revelation of his love and is willing to die for it. The apostle Paul did. He said that you might know this love that's beyond our understanding. He knew it. He understood it and he died for it. It's not about self-preservation. It's not about self-preservation. When you know this, and you're willing to die for it, and you won't know this until that's been tested, then nobody's called an apostle, because then you're gone. You know? Boy, that Dave was a real apostle. We never even knew it. You know? Till they killed him, till they boiled him in oil and hung him. Whatever, you know? I mean, do you love the message that much? Do you love Christ that much? Do you love what Jesus told us to do? I mean, when he caught the woman in adultery, you know, when he caught that woman in adultery and the religious wanted to stone him, he said, who's going to cast the first stone? And nobody did. And he said to her, go and sin no more. Do you think she sinned anymore? I think so. I did. Didn't you after you got saved? You encountered Christ? Did you sin after that? But he loved you while you were yet sinners. See that love, that agape love, that unconditional love. You know what he said to her? Go and you figure it out. And that's what we're in the process of doing. We're figuring it out. You know, he gives us all these suggestions to love your neighbor. He says, if you love your neighbor, okay, if he slaps you, turn the other cheek. He says, if you love your neighbor, go an extra mile for your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, go figure it out. That's what these are just suggestions. But each and individual situation is totally different. Go figure it out. There's a way to love, but you got to figure it out. There's a way to be generous, but you got to figure it out. We have it. God, we have right here. God so loved the world that he gave. Right there. So God gave. What am I going to give? What am I going to give to be like God? You know, like I said, the hippies were right. All you need is love. But they got it wrong about the source. I'm not the source of that love. My outfit's not the source of that love. The music was not the source of that love. What they got wrong was the source. That's why the movement failed. That's why it's a past history. Do you want Christianity to be a past history? It's taken a lot of hits these days. I'm telling you. Why? Because inconsistency. We got to get it right. God's love is greater. God's love is universal. It says it right there. He so loved the world, we got to get God out of the box. We got to see God for who he really is. And thank God we're going to take a whole month to do it. It's only three more Sundays, right? I don't know if there's four in there. Oh, not so much about what we know, but what we do with what we know. What we do. You know, we've heard it over and over again. You must be born again. You must be born again. How many would say they're going to be born again? They're born again. How many would say, oh my gosh, they better give a call to call. Thank you for that hand. Come on up here. Oh, you two, come on up here. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this new life in Christ? We've heard it and heard it and heard it. I want to give you something new and fresh. We live in a new day, a new dawn. This is a new place in history. We need a fresh revelation of his love so we can give our life for it. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word is Zoe. Life as God lives it. Oh, a quality of life in the spirit that brings you joy and peace in the midst of every trial. Whew. How many are being tested right now? All of us in this room. What's our focus? What's our focus? See, it's what we focus on. It's what we focus on that brings us that joy and that peace. I can't focus on myself. I can't focus on media. I can't focus. I have to lift my eyes to the heavens where my help comes from. A big God that's greater than all this. Greater. Oh, let's go to John 1. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Whew. Creation is God's love letter to us. And it's a continual love letter to us. What do we choose to look at? What do we choose to observe on a continual basis? Creation, the heavens, God saying, look at this. Look at this. Look what I've done. Look how big I am. Look how great I am. Look how magnificent I am. Look, what are you worried about? Look at this. Look at this. It's beyond. It's well beyond. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, or the Logos, is the title for Jesus Christ in creation. Jesus was right there. He's not, you know, he's not just some new being, you know. I mean, yes, he was made flesh and dwelt among us so he could show us how to live with this information, with this word, with this love letter. He gave us that. The word is Logos, the title of Jesus Christ in creation. And the word God is speaking. It's continuing to speak today. God so loved, as fresh as when it was written. God so loved the world. God so loved the universe. My ability is beyond what you can even ask or think. My love is beyond what you can even ask or think. What I can do is beyond. Why are you limiting me? What are you called to do in this hour? Go out and love. Go out and be the message. Oh, it's so fun. It's so wonderful. Creation, like I said, is God's letter to us. Sunshine, moonshine, starshine. Wow. Wow. I mean, doesn't the heavens impress you? I mean, that's what I am so impressed by it. Wow. I look at it and I don't even have a great view because of the light pollution. But now this telescope has given us a view that's well beyond. Well beyond, and points us right to God. Oh, the light shines and continues to shine. It continues to shine. Oh, wow. Wow. I'm astonished. That's what wow means. I'm astonished at God. We cannot lose the wow factor with the mundane crises in life. We lose the wow factor. God is great. I mean, what do you want me to do this morning? Turn on the news? Oh my gosh. No, we're going to be astonished and amazed by God. I can't wait to hear what Sandy, you know, shows us and tells us and teaches us. Oh, wow, far out. Oh, it's greater than you think. It's the Zoe life of Christ infused in us and gives us eternal life right now, not something we're waiting to go to in the sweet by and by. It's giving us eternal life, or life and love as God lives it in us. Wow. That gives me something to shoot for. That really keeps me on the edge. That really asks me to help the Holy Spirit to come alongside and help me do this, because it's not in me. Christ is in me, but it's not my first reaction all the time. Woo! Not always. It takes a refocusing, and he's given us this refocus. Whew. Wow. He's refocusing us. Look at Psalm 19. Oh, this is not a new revelation, although there is new revelation that's coming out. If you look at what's going on, the heavens declare and keep on declaring. The heavens are declaring and keep on declaring. They never stop declaring. Even if that star is gone, because it's so many light years away, it's still declaring the glory of God. Whew. Man, after I die, I still want to be declaring the glory of God. Hallelujah. Boy, that day, wow. He loved God. Shoo. Put it on my tombstone, you know. I'm not having one. Oh, my gosh. Wow, the heavens declare and keep declaring the glory of God. Oh, God is good. We have something to praise about. We have something to gather together and praise about. Oh, we won the lottery. Woo, we won the lottery. Oh, my gosh, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You know, this is just man trying to bring down the glory of God and put it into words. And it doesn't work. It's too big. Like Doug said, words, 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 words. Talking heads, talking heads. Oh my gosh. I get tired of the talking heads. Really tired of the talking heads. Oh my goodness. How much can you discuss an issue? How much can you bring people down instead of looking up to where our real help comes from? Our help comes from the Lord. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night after night, the celestial heavens are there to say, I'm good. It's good. I feel good. Whew, I don't care what you're going through. I feel good. Really, you know, when you get to be my age, you don't feel that good most a lot of time. You know, I mean, you just, age is an interesting thing. I feel good. When I get excited about God, I feel good. When I think about having eternal life, everlasting life, I feel good. There is no death. I'm living this now and forever. What? With the Word, the Logos of God, Jesus Christ, who what? Sits at the right hand of the Father. Look up. Look up. He says it reveals knowledge, knowledge beyond our ability to know. It reveals something that's beyond. I mean, we can't wrap our head around that picture. Like I said, who drew that picture? You know, is that really a picture? I mean, or did they just put that, you know? I mean, I believe God's trying to show us something in this hour and tell us something. Yeah, we got trouble, but there's something bigger. There's a bigger picture. a universal picture. And we can have divine understanding about what's going on. It's an ability to have divine understanding and have him reveal something to it, and we can articulate it and share it with you. Or would you rather just me stand up and say, you must be born again? Okay, I think we're all there, right? You must be born again, you know. I mean, we've heard it, but what are we going to do with what we've heard? How's it going to change our life? How is it going to give us Zoe life, born into a new life, life as God lives it? Trust me, I wasn't living it before. I knew. When I saw that sign at the football game, I went, because I didn't understand it. We need to help people understand it, that it's real. What a new life in Christ is about. What it looks like. It's not mean and ugly and nasty and ornery and judgmental and critical. No, it's full of love and life and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's called. Oh, look at it. It says, there's no speech nor language where this voice is not heard. You can't escape this voice unless you like the darkness better. You like the darkness. You like the doom and gloom. You like the negativity. If you like that better, there's no hope, folks. You're living in a hopeless world that you control by your strength, your ability. It says right here, it says the line has gone out, or God's strength has gone out. Not yours. The line has gone out, that's word strength, out to all the earth to reveal to us that we serve a powerful God, a mighty God, an incredible God. And the words to the end of the world. Oh, forever and ever. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. New every morning. That's sunrise every morning. You know, one thing I like about Instagram, because I went from Facebook to Instagram, is people showing sunset rises and sunsets. Wow. Wow. It's amazing. They know enough. They might not even believe in God, but they know beauty. They know beauty. They recognize that beauty. And if we can connect that beauty to God's outpouring of his love for them, whew, it says, which is like a bridegroom. Woo-hoo! You know how a bridegroom comes out of his chamber? Wow. Wow. Oh, I'm so in love. That's so good. I made the right decision. I decided to follow Jesus. Phew. It makes me so happy. It makes me so full of love. What can I do for you, honey? What can I do? Wow. Wow. And rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Oh, rejoicing. Rejoicing. It's rising. Is from the end, it's from the end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. There is nothing that is hidden from its heat. Whew. The sun shines on the just and the unjust, folks. I know you'd rather have it another way. Curse him. Put out the light on him. You know, Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You know not what spirit you're of. In Romans, we're going to end in Romans, I think. Romans 5. I'm almost there. Well, Romans 5. 5. Now God does not, or hope, which is God, does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out, whew, like a spring rain, poured out on us, on our hearts, by the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're in an incredible outpouring of his love. You can call it whatever you want, but the way I see it, we're in an incredible outpouring of His grace. Tremendous outpouring of His grace. It can make me less judgmental, less critical, less frustrated because of the Holy Spirit. He's poured out on us His love so we can pour it out on others. So we can pour it out on our kids, you know, so we can pour it out on one another. So we can pour it out, so we can be a blessing. For when we were still without strength, how many came here really strong this morning? I certainly didn't. As of yesterday, again, I could saw Carl standing and said, I can't do this, I'm too weak. My voice, my lungs, I don't like it. I don't feel good. Ooh, wow. When we are still without strength, our own ability, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, you got to see Him that way, folks. You got to see Him that way. You got to see Him as God sees Him. You have to see the big picture. Oh, for scarcity, for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, woo, wow, but God demonstrates and keeps on demonstrating His own love towards us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us all. Go figure it out. I'm going to pour out this love on people. How am I going to do this? Not devising a technique is I'm going to get back at them. How am I going to defend myself from them? I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing. How can I love them? How can I love them? He'll give you ideas. Oh, I'll tell you what. He will give you ideas. You ask the Holy Spirit, God, it's not my strength. I am done. Give me the strength. Give me the ideas. Help me go figure it out. I have given you my spirit to help you go figure it out. To pour out a blessing much more, much more, much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. No wrath, no fear. Whew. We're going to have communion this morning. And communion is the reset button. I'm telling you. I mean, He takes something that's every day. I need this reset button. Because other people are pushing my buttons. Okay? They're pushing my buttons. But the reset button is communion. Everybody ate at the table. And they're all weak. They're all sinners. They're all going to deny Christ. But everybody ate. His generosity, His love is a picture at this table. Whew. I'm going to have Ron play a song for me that I gave him early this morning. I'm sorry. But I wrestled with it because we had just done it, a couple weeks ago. But it stuck in my heart so much. And I loved the video with it. So Ron, is it, we can do that? So, as we play this song, bring down the light so we can see the video a little bit and turn up the sound. If you want to get up and get your communion, then we'll come back and take it together. Bye. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise his name. In the book of Colossians, it says, if then you be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind. Like I said, communion is a reset. That's what it is. Take your bread. Set your mind. I want you to lift it up and look at it. There's only one way to look, and that's up, folks. You're not going to make me look in any other direction. And I have to set my heart like a flint to keep looking up. Because if I don't, I'll be no help to you or hope to you. I hope I have stretched you to look higher, to look beyond, to look better, to look bigger, to see clearer, to refocus your life on him. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth, which are temporary. We're talking about what's eternal. The night that Jesus died, he took this bread. He broke it. Let's break the bread together. He said, take and eat, for this is my body that's been broken for you. Let's eat the bread together. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's your new life in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That same night he took the cup, all who are thirsty. There's so many things that we thirst for, but this is the right thing. As we drink this morning, you will never thirst again if you drink it in the right heart. Let's drink the cup together. Heavenly Father, wow. Keep us looking up. Keep us gathering together in unity and harmony of looking to you as our source of love, our source of life, our source of praise, blessing, peace, and joy. Whew, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.